The tool that we're talking about this morning is the cross. It's kind of weird to call it a tool, but in terms of our being able to live out the Christian life, what we think about, how we interact with, what we live with as it relates to the cross. This one was made by Earl Foster and given to me, and I'm so grateful for it. It's in my office. The cross has always been a struggle. Even since the first century, listen to this. Paul is writing the Christ followers in Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things in this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. This is some deep theology Paul is naming here. So that no one may boast before God. Let us pray. And I invite you just to take your hands and hold them open in front of you as you pray with me. You know, the truth is, my best message can't bring down the power of God. It's just words from a guy that doesn't know that much. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you this morning, it'll happen. Lord Jesus, would you do something in this room? Would you rearrange priorities? Lord, would you help us understand what surrender is all about? Dying to ourselves and being filled. Lord, with our hands open, we pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Would you join me out loud in saying that? Lord Jesus, speak to me. One more time. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Lord, like Samuel of old, we pray, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth, and we will obey. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, a lot of us as Christians have been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, even 50 years, but we're still 1 year old in our faith. We've done the same year 5 times, 10 times, 45 times. And if that is you and if that is me, then something is not right. Hebrews 5:9 says this way, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. But he goes on to say, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. It's like Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is saying, you just don't get this. You're doing the same year over and over and over again. In verse 5:12, he says this, in fact, though by this time you should be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. In verse 6, he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. And God permitting, we will do so. You see, God has given us the most amazing, most moving, most horrifying tool, a Roman torture instrument, if you want to call it that, for moving up, for going deeper, for breaking the cycle of doing the same stinking year over and over and over again. And maybe today is the day that that cycle gets broken and you bust through a barrier in your life. Maybe today you can have the experience of the fullness of God's Holy Spirit to have him do a deep word in your life. You know what? I'm tired and done of skimming through life, of skimming through relationships, of not going below the surface of my life. I am tired and done with doing the same year over and over and over again. How can I move in my spiritual life? And I know I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have it more together than this. But this is what God is calling me to say. The simple tool is the cross. For me to break through, it's there, the cross. So my question for us this morning is this. Have I picked up my cross, and have I died? Have I picked up my cross, and have I died? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his or her cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever loses their life for my sake, Jesus says, will find it. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up the cross. When Jesus Christ calls us, he doesn't call us to a cushion or to a couch or to a recliner, but he calls us to take up your cross and follow me. What does it mean to pick up the cross? You know, there's so many ideas of what the cross means, but throughout all of Scripture, you'll discover the cross is the sign of death. When Jesus hung on the cross, he died for our sins. Romans chapter 6 really goes into this. Listen to Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, to the Christ followers in the region of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, the first time that I really was hit, smacked by this verse, it was when Lee and I were visiting in the Czech Republic in the early 1990s, just a year and a half after the wall, the Iron Curtain, went down. And we were with these Christ followers whose parents were atheists. They were young, in their late 20s. And this one woman said, every morning I die to myself. And I was like, wow. But I understood what she meant, even though I hadn't seen it or heard it in those words. Every morning I'm dying to myself so that I am risen with Christ every morning. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus is saying to his followers, I want you to come with me and to learn what it is to die to your agenda, to pick up your cross and do what? To follow Jesus. It's not pick up your cross and do your own thing. It's pick up your cross and say, God, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to die to my plans, to my dreams, to my old nature, to my bent toward the dark side, and I want to follow you. I am crucified with Christ. God, whatever you have for me. Now, you may have your act together, but I didn't For sure, when I went in all in for Jesus, I would manipulate anything and anyone to get what I wanted. I was a nice guy about it. But it became this sign of my dark side. And one of the things that attracted me to my wife, Lee, is I knew I couldn't manipulate my way around her. She would not have that. And I needed that, her, like an anchor in that way. But up until then, it was this sign of my dark side. Now, you may call that a ton of things, carnal, bent, and evil. But every one of us came into the world on tilt like a pinball machine. And what Jesus is saying is, I want you to go to the cross and I want you to die. Here's the thing, those who have only lived can never see what those who have died and now live can. Let me say that again. Those who have only lived can never see what those who have died and now live can see. Until we go through that, we will never see all that God wants us to see. Until we take up our cross and apply ourselves to Christ on the cross. Have you ever experienced this deep work in your heart where you've died to your self-centeredness or your need to be in charge? And you might say, I don't think you get it. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'll do my own thing. I've got my own plans, my own heart. So let me ask this, how long's the battle been going on inside of you? Taking up this cross? No. Dying? No. The old you has to die. The old you, the old me, cannot do what God wants to do in my life. I'm not asking here, have you been born again? Are you a Christ follower? Have you put your faith in Jesus? But I'm wondering if maybe the record is stuck. And here it is, July 29th of that same year, over and over and over again. And today, you realize you've never said, Lord, here I am. I want to die to myself and put my whole trust in you that you would raise me up with Christ. Because when you say that, Jesus says, now you live for me. I love you that much. Then go back and read Romans 6. Then check out Romans 8. Or for me, anywhere in the Bible, the whole thing came alive when I realized I'm not living just for myself. To understand this thing, to pick up your cross. You know, I think the reason why so many churches in America are struggling is because we've all brought in our own agendas and we haven't died to our own agendas. To say, Jesus, what is your agenda? Everyone has their plan, but if we'd all get on our face and die and say, thy will be done in this church as it is in heaven, what could happen? The people that Jesus was speaking to were already following him. They were already listening. Some were considering. And I'm sure his disciples who were with him were saying, no, don't give them the you gotta die speech. Just give them the free loaves and fishes. Just tell them you're going to overthrow the Romans. That's what every Jew wanted to hear. They'd been so trampled on by every major world power all around them. But no, Jesus is saying to God's own people, you must die and take up your cross. What I want to say, 2 weeks ago we were talking about the altar, how in the Middle Ages it was viewed as a table, how so many of us have seen it as nothing more than a piece of furniture. In a way, it's like that with the cross. It's a beautiful symbol. And it represents forgiveness, and it represents our new life in Christ. But it's a Roman torture instrument. This morning I want to ask, have you been to the cross? Have you picked up the cross? Have you died to the dark side? Have you experienced the deep work of the Spirit of God as you've done it? Now, you may say, Matt, you don't understand. To live that level of forgiveness, that level of the Christ-like life is beyond me. And I would say, exactly. Listen, when someone else does us harm, we are connected to that mistreatment like a chain. Forgiveness like that is huge. It is not nothing. This cross, this tool in God's hand, is God's move. It's God's way to break into a lost and broken world, to combat the evil, taking one of the most evil things that humanity could have ever created. And God's move is to use even that as a tool to reach his people, to combat the evil, all evil, the evil within yourself and the evil without, all around us. The cross reminds us that forgiveness and new life is not just some act of niceness. Taking up your cross does not mean you become a doormat for lame people. Taking up your cross is not for wimps. It's way more than that. It's not saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay, it doesn't matter. No, it mattered that much to God. It's a way to get off the cycle of retaliation that you think about for how you were harmed. It's a way to get off the cycle of getting even or of having to prove yourself to everybody around you. Taking up the cross is a way of getting off the cycle of holding on to your anger about whatever harm's been done to you or whatever level of frustration you're living your life at. Maybe you're clinging to that harm, or you're clinging to that dream that never happened, or you're clinging to that dream of vengeance or that unforgiveness, or holding on to anger and hurt about the harm done to you is exactly what's keeping you on your annual one-year treadmill through the Christian life. But what if this cross is like a different tool? What if taking up your cross is like wielding bolt cutters and snapping the chain that holds you to your past, to that harm? Today, this cross, this death instrument, this tool of torture, is God's way of freedom, God's way of resurrection, of new life for you now, not just for when you die, but because you need new life today. Releasing yourself from the treadmill of junk that you keep on walking through. Because of the cross of Jesus, your past does not have to equal your future. Because of the cross of Jesus, it means that you are not chained to your resentments anymore. The cross is the tool of God for all of it, for living, for dying, for life after whatever you've been through. You know, there are lots of crosses to look at, beautiful to look at. And yet, even in the Bible itself, Paul says, I know the cross is like looking at foolishness to those perishing. And that's how an instrument of death and torture in the Roman Empire means life to those of us who are living for Christ. It's life, and it shows us a God who loves you so much that nothing could stand in the way of Jesus himself taking up his cross for us. You know, when it comes to worship, when it comes to this church is about creating spaces for people to join us in this, taking up our cross living new lives, claiming it is more blessed to give than to receive. Not holding on to resentments, not because we're so wimpy we couldn't think of some way to retaliate, but not holding on to resentments and taking all of it to the cross so that we can be free from it. So that we can shear off the darkness in ourselves. So that we don't have to just one up the people around us. In light of this church being about creating spaces for people, in a cultural context that's waning, the cross works. We have a little bit of time that we've built in. And so I would just like for you to soak in the question, have I taken up my cross, followed Jesus? Have I taken up the cross for the darkness? Have I taken up the cross in order to not hang on to the bitterness? Have I taken up the cross and from there allowed the new life of God's resurrection to come to me? And to spill over from me to the people around. We're going to have just some quiet music and some time of silent praying. And I'll close us in prayer after time, and we'll sing a hymn in response to this. But I would just like to ask, with eyes closed, if you are ready to get off the treadmill, for you to pray that, for you to lay your life down, because people who have only lived can never see what people who have died and now live can. If that is your prayer this morning, with all eyes closed, where you're seated, would you just raise your hand? As Alex plays, I invite you to pray where you are. I invite you to the altar, to the kneelers, for anointing, for prayer. We have oil. It's a symbol of that. Hear us now, O Lord. We are so grateful. Lord, some of us are scared because we have offered ourselves to you in this way for the first time this morning. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our hurts. And even knowing us, you know what's best. And your words, Lord Jesus, that we would not love even our mother or father or son or daughter the way that we love you. Lord, may it be us dying to ourselves every morning and being raised by you and living for you, a whole new life. That not only would we have traction for walking out of 1 year, but that we would have love and your grace that pours into us and through us from now until eternity. We pray all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus, who took up his cross and died for our forgiveness, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect love. Lord, may we live for him once and for all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.